Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
The show that takes you home. The Home Stretch with Sterling Holmes on ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
Welcome to the Home Stretch, ESPN Kansas City, 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, 1510.com, Facebook Live, live in studio on a beautiful Monday afternoon. We're back, baby. Took a nice week off. Southern Indiana, lot to hit on, an almost stabbing, went to a high school basketball game in Hoosier Land, which they take very seriously down there.
Was it Hickory High?
It was not.
Milan?
It was Austin versus Scottsburg.
Who won?
Scottsburg. Oh, come on. My cousin's boyfriend, their team crushed him like
32-20.
No, it was like 85-44. They put up some points.
Have they cut the bottom out of the peach baskets there?
That's what they do. Yeah, it's actually peach baskets.
Nice.
You know, it's fun. So got to do that. Ate some persimmon pudding on Thanksgiving. A nice Indiana treat.
What's that taste like?
Deliciousness.
What's persimmon taste like?
Do you know what persimmon is?
Oh, it's a wood.
No, persimmon is a almost apple-like
fruit. Well, I'm old enough to have persimmon wood golf clubs.
Oh, sure.
So the tree that the fruit grows on,
yeah,
they used to make golf clubs heads out of.
See, I love persimmon pudding. It's a very hot topic.
Yeah.
It's almost like stupid.
So it's like apple or something?
But it's not.
Is it actual fruit?
Or yeah, it's a pudding. It looks like pumpkin pie.
Right.
It looks a little like pumpkin pie.
Persimmon pudding.
It's outstanding. It's really big in...
Is that why you almost got stabbed?
No. That's a different story. I'll get to that in a second. But persimmon pudding and sweet potato casserole, had myself a good Thanksgiving.
That is good. Oh, persimmon. Yeah, persimmon looks like the fruit itself looks like a tomato or an apple or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had my first golf clubs were Arnold Palmer persimmon head woods.
I'm sure they were fantastic.
I still have them. You can't get rid of those.
Do you hit them?
No, I used to crush them. It's so funny because the driver looks like a 5-wood.
Sure.
Now the way they are, but yeah, it was my first ones. I got those at a pawn shop.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Sure.
They're nice.
There's high
the
quality
persimmon pudding right there. Do you put whipped cream on
yeah,
top?
Of course.
Yeah, that looks good. That looks really good. So did you get a recipe?
I might get it from my aunt. I need to, but we don't have persimmons
here.
the way you do in Indiana.
Don't you bring some back?
Well, they're wild in southern Indiana. They're wild there.
Sounds like it got wild at this bar.
Yeah. It did. Okay. Well, we'll get to the bar story now. So
what were you drinking?
Yingling.
Yeah?
But I wasn't doing anything. It's me, my cousin, I guess my two cousins.
Boys and girls, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It was after the high school game. So they watched their daughter's boyfriend play basketball. They took their daughter who's their youngest daughter.
These are older people than you.
Yes. My two cousins, they're 40. My other two cousins, about my age, my girlfriend, and then my oldest cousin's daughter, who was their youngest daughter, who's 12. And
yeah, the 12-year-old at the bar.
It's a family section. There is the family section, okay? This bar's classy. There's
what's
a
it called?
Pony wall.
Persimmons?
No. There was a pony wall that separates one side from the other.
Adults
from
the
olds. But in fairness, though, she was the youngest one in there, but she obviously not allowed to drink.
Right.
But we had some Yingling,
yep.
And my older cousin looks to me, says the table next to us, I got some stories to tell you back in high school. It's a small town.
Okay,
everyone knows
people.
Everyone.
Some history.
They just, he goes, remind me when we get back to the house, I'll tell you some funny stories about these two guys. Mm-hmm. My cousin's in the middle of telling us a story about how he went to this biker bar in this small town,
they tried jumping him, and he
those people
different guys, different guys, but try kicking someone's ass in the middle of him telling this story. Dude walks in, older gentleman, hammer drunk, Budweiser in one hand, a dagger in the other.
Oh,
goes up to the table next to us, and these tables are packed in there, packed in there, so we can't move. The guy sitting down goes, "I'm not looking for trouble."
Right, because there's a man with a beer and a knife.
And a beer and a knife. And a gun in his...
Of course,
because it's Southern Indiana. You got to have a gun tucked away in your jeans, the back of your
conceal
jeans.
Conceal and carry, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And you're not concealing it very well.
Yeah.
Don't want any trouble.
No
guy
trouble.
Goes, "It's too late for that."
Maybe should have engaged him.
Maybe should have engaged. My cousin, middle of the story, gets up, grabs the dude with a dagger, throws him out of the bar, puts his foot in the door so he can't get back in. The old gentleman's hammer decides to run away because he goes, "Wow, what am I going to do now? There's a whole bar who's seen me. They've been alerted. He sprints away. The dude who, you know, was getting attacked.
I don't want no trouble.
He actually did get little nicked up. My cousin, the entire time, middle of telling this badass story, does a badass thing, didn't even know the guy had a dagger.
Didn't even know he had one.
He goes, "Probably wouldn't have thrown that guy out, gave him a bear hug and thrown him out if I knew he had a dagger."
That's insane.
So that's...
Then the guy just gone, never saw him again.
Never saw him again. We
evening commenced.
We made sure to get our checks. And
yeah,
he did have a gun in the back of his...
pants.
So that's Southern Indiana.
What was the name of this bar?
I don't remember. It changed bars. It used to be called Hardy's Bar.
Hardy.
They got shut down, so now it's a new bar. They got bought out.
Yeah, big money. Well, what's the name of this town?
Well, we were in Scottsburg, which is, frankly, a tiny, larger town than where we stayed at, which is Henryville, Indiana.
Hankville?
Henryville, fun fact for you, birthplace of Colonel Sanders.
Oh.
Yeah.
You were in Kentucky.
Southern Indy.
They call that
Indiana.
Kentucky, Indiana.
Yeah.
Kentucky, Indiana.
We went to Louisville a couple times. Went down to Albany.
Would you say the name Henryville?
Henryville, Indiana, baby.
They don't call it Hankville?
Town of about 1,900.
And who lives here? Your actual cousins?
My grandparents.
Oh, your grandparents.
My grandparents, by the way, were in
this
Florida.
Your dad's parents or your mom's parents?
My mom's.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we had a little country Thanksgiving. It was a good time.
Yeah, you were just right up the road from Louisville. That's really nice.
30 minutes away.
Scottsburg?
Scottsburg
guys looks like a big town.
Well, it's like Fort Scott size, probably.
Yeah, that's a big town. That's way bigger than Henryville.
Henryville's 1,900.
Yeah. Henryville's got a high school, though.
Oh, yeah, they do, baby.
That's nice. This was in Henryville or Scottsburg when the fight was?
Scottsburg. There's no bars in Henryville.
There's the Huckleberry's Country Kitchen.
By the way,
did you go there?
We did go there. And by the way, they still serve my great aunt Teenie's burger there. They're called Teenie Burgers.
Teenie's.
Yeah, it's a small town. It's basically just my family and a few other folk.
And Scottsburg's got a Taco Bell.
Hell yeah, they got a Taco Bell.
China Wind.
Do they have a Casey's? That's almost a staple.
Yes, there's one
there's
right
a there. There's a Casey's and a stoplight liquor. Henryville, by the way, is a one stoplight town, and it just blinks red. It's basically a stop sign. It's not even like a stoplight. It's like a hanging Christmas light, but that way they can claim they have a stoplight.
Yeah.
I love the town, by the way. I go there every year for summer. First year I've gone there for Thanksgiving. Normally we go to Florida, Sanibel Island, as Lebo knows, got hit by the old hurricanes.
Which one was that? Hurricane something or other. I forgot.
Ida.
I don't know anymore. I don't care anymore because it ruined my vacation.
Wow, you don't care.
Were you in the pub tavern?
No, that's right next to it.
Okay, so you were right by the pub tavern?
Yeah, right by it.
Okay.
Right by Java Station
Coffee. Java Station 56.
Very good coffee. Very good coffee. Went there almost every morning.
Ships on the square?
That's what it was.
You were at Ships?
It was Ships.
Yeah. So this guy came on Main Street, walked right in with a knife.
Yeah.
At Ships on the square.
Correct.
You know, put a review up on this? Had a nice night, except for when the guy came in and tried to stab people.
Besides that,
month ago, ordered a burger and onion rings. I got 4 onion rings, 2 tiny ones. Burger wasn't even big as the bun. For $10.50, I asked, and I was told
if I wanted more,
shared my experience with the Facebook manager, insulted and berated me and told me to stay away. Wow.
Wow.
This is what this person got for $11. That's not many onion rings.
That's not many onion rings.
But no mention here of the knife yet.
Of the knife yet.
I want you to put that review up.
I don't know if I can.
What do you mean you can't?
I just feel awkward doing that. I don't want to take away a small business.
Look at all the onion rings someone else got, though.
Oh, that's a lot of onion. That looks like a good burger,
that
too.
That does look like a good burger.
See, I'm not trying to take money out of It's a cool place, right?
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Except for the stabbing.
Besides the stabbing part, yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
You get that, though, sometimes.
It's a good Thanksgiving.
It's kind of part of the ambiance.
Yeah. You see, that's what I wanted. I wanted that in a small town.
You got it.
No one got,
you got
to
high school hoops, persimmon pudding.
Persimmon pudding.
Possible knife play.
What more do you want?
Family.
Family. What more do you want?
That sounds like a great vacation.
And the family saved the day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were a part of a hero story.
Good job,
like a
Richard.
TripAdvisor biography right there.
Really, it does. I mean, this is nails. We also stopped in Santa Claus, Indiana on our way down. Birthplace of?
Santa Claus.
Jay Cutler. So close.
Beat me to it, Todd.
Close.
Jay Cutler.
It was pretty cool. It actually was directly on your way.
Mm-hmm.
They
I never.
A ton of Christmas stuff.
Did you take I-70 to just south on 65?
64. So 70. It's I-70 to 64, and then you're there.
That's it. I've driven to Indy many times. Back in the day, we used to go to the Indy 500, and I remember we would stop at that. It's called the Crossroads or something at 70 and 64.
Was that what Robert Johnson and John Mayer were singing about?
See you at the crossroads.
Yeah.
I think that's what that's called. Somewhere we would on I-70. Now, we didn't make it that far. We were in Illinois. That's where the crossroads was, because you went all the way and then south. Yeah, we would – I can't remember where that was. In the middle of Illinois, maybe it was 55 and 70.
You talking about Casey, Illinois, the biggest little city?
We would – where?
Or big city, small things? Is that what you're talking about?
We would – there was big interstate, and there was like a
– the world's largest rocking chair? Is that what you're talking about? Because I've been there too, baby.
Was it
– Casey, Illinois.
Was there a country kitchen?
Yes, there was a country kitchen there.
Boy, we woke up there one morning. Oof. That's a rough go. There's Santa Claus right there on the map.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's nice. I haven't driven that way in a while. We used to always go to Indy.
If you want to go on a fun road trip, I'm telling you, I'll show you some fun spots. Go ahead, Dylan.
I was just going to tell you, just stay out of Evansville. It's the worst, because I went to Nashville and somehow got on the wrong way, and it took me through Evansville, and there's a street light, I swear to you, every 100 feet.
You didn't like
road.
That?
And it, no. It was basically rush hour traffic all day, no matter when I got there. I rolled through there about 3 on the way there, rolled through there about 11 on the way back, and it was just
bad news.
Added an hour to my trip, basically. So just stay out of Evansville if you are traveling.
I think
there.
Effingham is where we used to. That was the big crossroads there at 70 and 57. The 57 goes from Chicago, maybe down to Memphis or something. Yeah.
Sure.
I remember Effingham. We would stop there. There might have been a that's a place.
Do we need to talk, I guess, a little bit about the Chiefs game? Or
yeah,
it's kind of boring.
Here's what I explained what happened this game last night. Okay, so take yourself back to, like, I don't know, 2015 or something, and the Royals are good and it's fun every night. But then sometimes they just win a game on a Thursday, and it's 4-3, and the starting pitcher for the other team, he couldn't pitch, and then the Royals didn't hit any home runs or anything cool, but they just won.
Yeah.
And then you just go on to the next one. So that was just a rando, all right, the White Sox are in town on a Thursday, and, you just kind of won a game. No drama, no nothing.
No.
You just won. That was
slight drama with Sky
Moore.
This
was more like a 6-1 game in baseball.
Yeah.
Where you scored a little bit, hit an error in the first.
The other team has a couple errors.
And then
their starting pitcher got scratched before the game.
Right before
so they
the
throw.
Game. And they throw this guy you never heard of. But he fought.
Yeah,
and
he
eventually,
fought.
you got a little grounder for a hit and this and that and the other. You didn't even have to go to the real bullpen.
And you leave just, a lot of guys in third.
Use the long guy, You just use long guy. And you, a couple guys.
Jeremy Guthrie. Jeremy Guthrie's out there. He's
out
having
there.
A nice game.
You had 7 left on base.
Yeah.
Whatever. But you won. And you just go, all right, there's going to be another game tomorrow.
Sure.
And that's what this is. They got a big series coming up this weekend.
Correct.
A big road trip.
Yeah.
They're going to go play somebody important. So that's what that was. So they survived. They advanced. They won the game. It's way better than playing kind of boring, bad football and losing.
Correct.
Which they have done this year, the Colts game. This started out with that feel like, how could you lose? We were talking to everyone last week. What's the path to lose? Well, you got to mess up on special teams. You got to turn the ball over. You got to do this. Yeah. And you know what? First thing out of the chute, Sky Moore. Oh, my God. Just muffs it. And you're like, but then the defense right away answered the bell. The defense did a great job of answering the bell after the fake punt.
Correct.
And the muff punt.
Yes.
No yards, no points, no nothing. So that's what they weren't able to get done against the Colts. because the Colts, while they're not very good,
scored 10 points
better than this,
I believe,
this Rams team. This Rams team right here is straight trash.
Correct.
On offense, it's atrocious. On defense, they still have some very good
Leonard
players.
Floyd, Wagner, Aaron Donald, who was, for the most part, bottled up outside of the first drive or
Ramsey,
two. Ramsey.
You know, they still have very talented defensive players.
Troy Hill.
Who fought pretty hard. But this game was just like, okay, you just didn't do a very good job. It's just a little bit like baseball. You had a night where you just couldn't get a hit with RISP, with runners in scoring position.
You left guys on third.
They just left guys on third
base. Or sack flies. Never got the big inning.
Yeah, never blew it open.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we got three guys on base. Got a sack fly. That's all we got.
I will say,
that's what that game was.
Think of how unimpressive the Chiefs were. The line was 15.5. The Chiefs still covered the 16.
They did.
Don't apologize for a win.
No.
It was very bland. I think that one play in the red zone was basically Andy Reid saying, all right, guys, have some fun.
Let's do something.
We'll let you have some fun. You just move on. The Chiefs are 9-2.
But Patrick Mahomes had some bad throws in the red zone.
Correct.
He threw the interception. The weird one where he just kind of flipped it.
Yeah.
Hit a guy in the leg with a pass. So it was not good. But against the Rams, you still win by 16 points. You still cover. That will not play in Cincinnati this week.
Correct. But also, I will point out, the Rams in the red zone are going to be better than Cincinnati Bengals are in the red zone. As much as we say the Rams are horrendous,
their defense is still okay.
Their defense is still okay, and where do they thrive? Red zone, as well as bottling up running backs because of what they have on the defensive front. So as much as it's easy to point out and say, yeah, the Chiefs' red zone woes, something to be concerned about, I'm not as concerned. They've been so good all season long in the red zone, you're not going to be perfect all year.
It is funny.
You're going to have an off game.
You know, this was a big game. This was
supposed to be.
The champs were coming to town. It's November. Fox had the game. Mm-hmm. They had the big crew there, their number one crew, all this stuff. And it's like, we're getting Bryce Perkins, are we?
Yeah.
That's how this goes. Cooper Kupp's here, right? No Cooper Kupp.
Allen Robinson, right? The big wide receiver signing.
Nope, nothing. They had nothing on
offense. Well, of course, Daryl Henderson's going to be there, right?
Nope, gone. Yeah, it was – and, you know, the Chiefs just kind of sleepwalk through. First drive of the game, they get the ball, get a first down, nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and then they stop them, punt, muff, nothing. I mean, it's just, you know,
What do you think of – let's talk one negative before we talk some more positives. Dave Tobe, for about a decade as a Kansas City special teams head coach, has been outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Consistently having the unit top five, top three, occasionally number one. There's been so many issues this year. How much of that is a almost new roster when it comes to young guys on special teams? You know, a lot of the veteran guys that he loved having there, Daniel Sorensen, Ben Neiman, those guys are gone.
Gone.
This game, I don't blame the Butker woes on Dave Tobe. That's not on him.
Injury happened.
That's injury. Yeah. Tommy Townsend has been good, but when it comes to, one, kick returns, taking the ball out, and you're not getting back to the 25 consistently.
Catching the ball and walking out of bounds. Not bright.
Punt returns. Not having guys ready on fake punts, onside kicks. That is on Dave Tobe. I'm not saying fire Dave Tobe. I think those people need to calm down a little bit. He has over a decade worth of incredible experience where he's thrived. But what's happening this year? Why is he putting Sky Moore back there again? Well, I know Kadarius Toney and Mecole Hardman's out, but still.
I think they do try to stick with players, and they don't want to, because this is someone who's going to be important to the franchise.
Correct.
They don't want to crush his confidence.
Well, he looks good as a receiver. You're crushing your confidence as a returner.
Well, he's never going to go back again. That's my guess.
That after the last one, though.
No, it's not happening now. He had the mistake in Indianapolis. And then it was how many weeks later were the Niners? 5 weeks maybe?
About
that. And then he had the mistake there. And then they signed Tony, and then he was pretty much done doing it. But then Tony got hurt during a game, and then he muffed this one. This was gonna be his job this week. He muffed this one. Unfortunately, they didn't recover any of them that he muffed, right? They lost it on all of them.
I think all three.
Yeah. So that's just bad luck, too.
Sure.
A lot of times you muff a punt. And
it goes right back to you. You fall on it. You get no yards.
It's all good. Whatever. He still has like 14 returns and like four fair catches. I mean, it's still a bad percentage.
Yeah.
Three is too many in a season.
Tell that to a
career.
Baseball player.
It's not great. And he's not going to do it anymore. I don't think they're going to have him do it anymore because they want them to have the confidence to go out there back there and catch it. And I have said this since the very beginning. People are, who's going to take punts out and who's going to do this? I don't care. I just want someone to catch it. I honestly, this is I'm not even joking. I honestly think they should just play punt safe on everyone and not even catch a punt.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter if you get the ball to 1 yard line or the 20 yard line. This Chiefs offense is okay.
Yes.
You need to switch the paradigm where anymore these guys are so good at dropping the ball inside the 10. You know, they catch it at the 5 now.
Correct, yeah.
Don't. Go back and play old school. So be it if they down at the 1 yard line. Who cares?
Yep.
Because it's not worth the risk when you have this offense to do it. That's how I think. Now, they got different algorithms and whatever they say they're supposed to do.
They're not working, though.
The other side of this is this. There's not much to complain about this team. So this is what you complain about.
We're nitpicking.
They have more sacks now than they had last year. I think they surpassed that yesterday.
George K. getting his first one.
He got his first solo sack. Chris Jones is playing as good as anyone in the league on the defensive line. I saw Frank Clark's pressure rate's insane. And he is playing like a man possessed. Nick Bolton is playing at a Pro Bowl level. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. Juju Smith-Schuster was working himself into being great. Travis Kelce's Travis Kelce. The line has done okay. So you got to complain about the one thing that sticks out.
Yeah.
And I'll give Tobe credit because he's working with a whole bunch of brand new guys he's teaching stuff to. You want these things to stop happening. But if you think about it, everything as a whole, the thing that really bothers people is they feel like they lost the Colts game because of the muff and the missed field goal and the missed PAT and the fact they had to fake a field goal because they didn't trust the kicker. That's not Dave Tobe's fault.
Correct.
Now, they did pick Matt Amendola to be the kicker.
Sure. Well, and he rewarded them the game before, but no one wants to bring that one up.
He was great that day in a more important game at home against the Chargers.
Correct.
Right? But people just like to bitch about things. So they're going to bitch about this. Lay off at Dave Tobe.
Yeah.
He needs to coach better. But in the end, I say this all the time. The players make the plays.
Yeah.
The players catch the ball. The players make the decision. You could tell a guy. I'm quite sure they told Isaiah Pacheco, don't catch the ball 1 foot from the sideline and go out of bounds. But he's a rookie, and he just did it. And they tell Sky Moore, just catch the ball.
Yeah.
Well, you sometimes you don't just catch the ball. Okay?
It is funny to listen sometimes because the Chiefs are 9-2, first place in the AFC, what has been touted in my eyes as a retooling year, right? So many new pieces, so many young guys, rookies getting massive playing time. This was supposed to be the year that the Chiefs, I don't want to say take a step back, but other teams in the AFC, the Buffalo Bills, for example, they were now the favorites in the AFC. The Chargers were the favorites in the AFC West, although the national media likes to put them there about 6 years in a row. This was a year for other teams in the AFC who were more complete, who were more experienced, to be ahead of Kansas City.
Well, who's playing more rookies than the Chiefs? I mean, maybe someone is, but I don't know who.
Don't even think Houston is.
And so a lot of these rookies have to play on special teams, and they have to do those things, right? And the Chiefs have survived that. I mean, they lost the Colts game partially because of special teams, but they could have won that game even with all those bad things that happened if there wasn't this phantom weird call on Chris Jones.
Sure.
You know. But the rest of the teams, it doesn't matter what the Chiefs are doing. With this poor special teams, rookies playing, they're still winning the games. And they're the one seed now. Now, we were talking about this last week. The Bengals weren't really people's thought for a threat for the one seed or whatever because they had four losses. But when you looked at their schedule, heading down the stretch, they're going to play the Titans, which they did yesterday. And what'd they do? They won. They're going to host the Chiefs, which is going to be this Sunday, and they end the year with the Bills and the Ravens. Mm. So they were going to play. Those are the four teams people talk about in this conference, right?
Sure.
They talk about the Dolphins, who they'd already played, and they beat them. And then they talk about the Bills, the Chiefs, the Titans, and the Ravens. And they're going to be a factor in this race. So they already were a big factor yesterday because they beat the Titans. Now the Chiefs have to put them back in that five-loss chunk now.
Yeah.
Will they do it? Who's had the Chiefs' number in the past year? This team. They've beaten them in Cincinnati and in Kansas City. So this is the Chiefs' chance. I think they are going to be as focused as you can be this week.
Chiefs or Bengals?
The Chiefs.
Oh, I think so, too.
The Chiefs.
The Chiefs – there was something to, all right, Justin Watson, you're getting 84% of the snaps at wide receiver. Juju, I know he was a late in. They didn't know if he was going to play or not, but there's something
get
to
ready.
Get Travis Kelce, get ready. Hey, they're looking forward to Cincinnati.
And they were horrible in the red zone yesterday. Might have been saving a player, too.
Saving a couple.
Saving a couple
back.
Of things up, you know, throwing some things down there. Because they were mad about how they lost the game. They lost home field advantage by losing the game in Cincinnati last year. They ended up getting it back because the Bengals beat the Titans. But they had a lead in that game, and then it just got out of hand. You know, Jamar Chase went crazy, catching insane passes, all this stuff. There were penalties at the end of the game. It was one of those games where you probably should have done differently with the clock. Probably should have let him score.
Yeah.
But the Bengals played it right. There was a play where, you know, they got down and they got a first down inside the one, and that pretty much ended the game. They needed to let them score, and the Chiefs weren't ready to do that. They don't know how to do that, and it was
so
bad.
There was a penalty or something at some point that gave them an extra first down.
All of it was a mess. So the end of that game was terrible. They took it out on them in the first half of the game in the title game.
Yeah.
They're going, you know, make the trip. Everyone's going to L.A. And then the whole thing fell apart. Patrick Mahomes was not good in the second half.
He was Chuck Knoblauch second half.
He fumbled the ball. Yeah. Very lucky to even go to overtime.
Yeah.
Because they fumbled the ball, and they landed on it. I think Joe Tooney recovered it, saved the day. Chris Jones had Joe Burrow for sacks several times, never got him down. Tyreek Hill's last play as a Kansas City Chief is dropping a pass and bouncing it into their arms so they win the game. Chris Jones been thinking about this game for a year.
Yeah.
He was thinking about it in OTAs. He brings this game up. I mean, he brings it up himself. We know Patrick Mahomes has mentioned not playing well in the second half of the game at Arrowhead last year. This group of dudes remembers both of those games big time. And I think they're going to come out and play great football.
I agree, but on the flip side, Cincinnati knows what's at stake as well. They rested Jamar Chase, and a lot of the thought process was, he could have came back last week on Sunday, I guess yesterday. And he said
no. Let's save it to the Chiefs.
Let's save it. And if you're a team, it feels like this is going to be a perpetual thing that happens.
You got to be ready to play the Chiefs.
You're going to be ready to play the Chiefs, and if guys questionable to play or going to come back against a team, going to be against Kansas City. It's going to be against the Chiefs because this is a lot of teams' Super Bowl. This is a team where we need to give our best shot to have any chance of competing with. They saved Jamar Chase for the Kansas City Chiefs. We saw it a few times earlier this season with other players, and now we're seeing it with Cincinnati.
Yeah, they're a good team, and when they are all healthy, they're very good. But this is a different Chiefs team. How many busted, wide-open, kind of weird plays were there in that game? And there was a little Dan Sorensen going on in that game. There was a little Tyrann Mathieu not getting his nose in there that game. This is a different Chiefs defensive backfield. Nick Bolton was talking yesterday already about he had a chance to intercept a ball in the title game and didn't get it done. They're all thinking about this. I'm excited. I think this is going to be a great game. This is must-see TV on Sunday evening to afternoon, we'll call it, right? Because it's a 3:25 game.
Let's take a quick break because I want to come back. And you mentioned some of the blown coverages in the secondary. And I think there's a reason why we're not seeing as many this year. Homestretch here, ESPN, Kansas City. Welcome back to the home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City. Lebo still joining us in studio. And if you guys go out to the grocery store and notice a shortage in butter, it's because Melvin Gordon is signing with the Chiefs practice squad and they're all over his hands.
You call him Butterfingers?
What would you call it?
It's hard to carry the football. You get hit sometimes.
Sure. You know what you call that?
Butterfingers.
I think his favorite candy bar is
Butterfinger.
Yeah.
Dylan, we were just talking during the break. The guy's been on the Broncos for a little while. They got to play the Broncos twice, bring in some intel.
Yeah, because the Chiefs need that one.
Well, you know.
The Broncos have now beat Kansas City since 2015. Russell Wilson looks like a legitimate bottom five quarterback in the NFL. Truly, I would probably
take Drew Lock this season.
You can't get out of it. For me and Verderam went through this yesterday after the show.
It's $100 million
just to release. Yeah. You fiscally cannot release him for four more years.
Right.
When he's 38, it is a wild situation in Denver. I've never seen a team be this perpetually bad.
Next year
post
is
Super Bowl.
$107 million, 85 the next year, 49 then 31. You really can't.
You can't release him.
Yeah, till 2026 maybe.
Denver's screwed. Drew Lock, I'm not kidding you. I think Drew Lock would have been better this year for Denver. Not even contract wise.
He wouldn't have been worse.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Not even contract wise. Not even draft pick wise. Legitimate. Who would be better? Russell Wilson. Guess how many touchdowns he has this year?
It's still seven.
I think it was eight.
Is it eight?
I think he had one last game. Travis Kelce has more.
What's the stat about his house? I think it's the bathrooms.
The bathrooms are still winning. He has, 13 bathrooms in his house? Yeah. He has eight touchdowns this year. It's incredible how horrendous he's been.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be, you know, a good
this
year
is
for
one
Denver.
One of the reasons we were so excited about the West. The West was almost a perfect day yesterday for the Chiefs. They had two weeks ago the perfect one because it was 0-3 for everyone else and the Chiefs won. Yesterday, it looked like it was going to be 0-3 and the Chiefs win, but the Raiders come back and force overtime, then win it, and the Chargers score and then go for two and win the game there.
That decision, by the way, was a head coach who knew his job was on the line.
You best go win a game.
You better go win.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave it up to chance. Whatever your best play is, you better pull it out right now.
Yeah, so we were talking also about the possibility of that Broncos-Chiefs game getting flexed back. The deadline is tomorrow for the NFL to flex it. It is right now Sunday Night Football next weekend. Not next, whatever.
The 11th.
I'm talking about the 11th. But they may, because the Broncos are so bad. Now, Patrick Mahomes is worth watching, but they may flex that one back to the afternoon. The Giants and Philly play that day, and also Jets and Bills. So there's some big market kind of stuff going on there.
You'd almost assume Jets and Bills because the Eagles have got a lot of prime time.
Mm-hmm.
The past couple days or the past couple weeks.
The Bills game is in. The Jets are fun, but it's in Buffalo. Probably not a great game.
But Mike White.
Yeah. So there you go. So, but what's worse than the Chiefs and Broncos? I don't know.
Well, Mike White's better than Russell Wilson.
Well, Mike's better than Zach Wilson, too.
Zach Wilson's better than Russell. Which Wilson's better? Which is the better Wilson?
Zach Wilson's cheaper.
Yeah.
Cheaper. So, yeah, tomorrow's the deadline to pick that one. But, yeah, it was a. It's a wild stretch here, man. Wow.
With the Chiefs-Bengals game, before break, I wanted to bring this up. You mentioned some of the blown coverages last year in both of those games.
Mm-hmm.
There's been, in my eyes, a concerted effort to have less blown coverages, which in turn has obviously led to less turnovers forced. We're not seeing a lot of interceptions unless it's Nick Bolton late in games, right? We're not seeing a lot of aggressive plays from corners jumping routes. And I think this is a schematic difference we're seeing from Spags and the young guys. I don't know if you agree here or not, but that's what I'm seeing. That's why I don't think Ja'Marr Chase is going to go off the way he did the last two times against Kansas City. That's why I think the Chiefs will do a better job defensively against the Bengals. Yes, they probably won't force any turnovers, but they don't need to. They're not going to get burnt.
Well, that's the hope. Chase had a 72-yard play in that one. T. Higgins had a 39-yard play. I'm talking about the regular season game now. What's the – I'm trying to remember a big, long play against the Chiefs this year. Help me as I'm racking
that's
my head.
Point.
What is the longest reception against the Chiefs this year? It's got to be one that was kind of big, but I don't remember a lot of just wide open
– just hands blown
up,
coverages.
You know, staring at each other like, what's going on? Kind of deals. I don't remember what the longest one against the Chiefs this year is. I mean, there was – wow. I mean, Derrick Henry had a pretty long run that they ended up tackling him on in that Titans game.
But that's
– I mean, that's my point. That's a big key. You're racking your brain kind of trying to find one, right? And And you don't. There just haven't been many. They've done a nice job of it. So,
but do you think that's why the turnovers are down this year? It's because they're focused more on
keep it in front of them and not
don't
chances.
Break.
Yeah,
just
yeah. I think that's definitely true. They've done a nice job with that. They have done much better because there were lots of plays last year where you look up and that was the old Tyrann Mathieu got his hands up, you know.
Yeah.
Many times in the game, and that has not happened often this year that I remember at all. Biggest play yesterday, they didn't have a 20-yard pass yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now that's different because it was, you know.
Sure. And by the way, he did not look bad, Perkins.
No.
Give the guy – he looked better than Malik Willis did in his stint.
Well, at one point, they had 3 yards at one point in the first half because they take him off on the sacks,
and
the punter had 6 yards. So, you know, they had some issues there. A little bit. They didn't even ask him to really throw
until the second
ball.
Half.
The second half, but he looked like it was okay.
Yeah.
Palmer had a 50-yarder. I remember that now.
Joshua Palmer. Yeah,
he had kind of a long one. Keenan Allen had a 46-yarder. I don't believe that scored. Jags didn't have any long plays, did they?
Christian Kirk had a good game.
Yeah, but not those backbreakers. Long. 24, 24, yeah. 33. Those just happen.
Yeah.
That's just football, right? Yeah, that's a good point. I bet they had 5, 7, 8, 9 50-yard touchdowns against them last year.
Yeah. And that's,
maybe.
And that's been when everyone's been so concerned with the turnover differential and margin. I agree to an extent. I just think there needs to be some context thrown in there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure, yeah.
I also think Trent McDuffie does a phenomenal job as a rookie using the sidelined as his friend. He is one of the best corners I have seen pushing, funneling wide receivers to where they physically cannot catch the ball. He puts his body in the way. You can't get 2 feet down. I think it's really impressive the veteran moves Trent McDuffie uses as a rookie that you don't see a lot of wily veterans use. Legarius Sneed, by the way. How impactful is he? He's probably the second most impactful defensive player in Kansas City's defense outside of Chris Jones, right?
Well, yesterday there were 3 players at one point got off the field with concussion-like things. They took Legarius Sneed into the tent, then they took him into the locker room. He came out in the second half, and he was out there playing. Good news. Then Brian Cook and Willie Gay hit each other.
Fire, yeah.
And then Willie Gay didn't even go in the tent. All right, you're fine, Willie. Brian went in the tent, but he came back out as well. All very important.
Yeah.
And Legarius Sneed is the most important of those guys.
Yeah.
Because he makes plays, and they need to have him ready to go because he makes plays in the run game. He makes plays as a pass rusher, and he just absolutely makes plays when it counts, when defending the pass or maybe coming up with an interception. He's been really, really good.
7 tackles, second most on the team. 1 tackle for a loss. 2 passes defensed. An interception, and one of the passes defensed was that ball batted down. He almost had a sack following the batted pass as well.
Yeah, he missed that. He does not miss those often. That was a big miss for him.
But the Swiss Army knife, this is what, to an extent, Tyrann Mathieu did the first 2 years in Kansas City. You asked
when
me to do something.
Interested?
Well, that's my point. The first 2 years, I hate the, I don't want to do the revisionist history. The first 2 years of Tyrann Mathieu in Kansas City was elite.
Great, yeah.
Outstanding. This is what Legarius Sneed looks like to me. A guy who can do it all. Whatever position, whatever role you need him to fill, he will do it.
Yeah, well, he's gotten it done. He's not the MVP of the team on defense because that's Chris Jones.
Chris Jones is probably going to be – do you think he wins Defensive Player of the Year, by the way, Chris Jones?
He could. I mean, he absolutely could. He is making plays. What would the sack was $1 million sack yesterday? 125, I heard, on the Field Yates tweeted that out.
Oh, getting to 10?
Getting to 10. Nice day. But he's earning it. I mean, when it comes time to make a play, he's making the play. He seems to, second half, you need someone to go blow a play up. That's when he goes and does it. And that's what you want out of a superstar.
What's been interesting to me this year, Chris Jones has always been incredible, right? But then the knock against Chris Jones, to an extent, has been the lack of consistency, right? Some games he'll show out and other games he'll disappear for an extended period of time. We've not seen that this year. We have not seen Chris Jones take a quarter off, take a couple plays off, or at least get stopped. It feels like he's making an impact almost every single series he's on the field.
Yeah, he's there was maybe one of the possessions in the first half when they rotate through because you got to keep the guys fresh.
Sure.
And you look down, you're like, I don't really like this look here. I like Colin Saunders. He's doing a nice job. Mm-hmm. But you look down and you don't see 95 or 55 in the game for a little bit. You're like, I don't like this. But you can't let him play the whole game. But he has been fresh and ready to go. He's taking much better care of himself. You know, and Andy mentioned this past week about how he's was more in shape. He keeps himself in great shape. He's understanding how to treat his body as he keeps going through the league. Because he's a big dude. This is a big, big frame. He's not, 6'2". This guy's legit like 6'5". And monstrous, and that's a lot to move around. And he's kept himself in really good shape, and he works really hard at his craft, and he's playing great. He's absolutely playing great.
Let's talk a little college football because we've talked about the Chiefs. We'll talk more as the week progresses, but let's be real. That was a boring game. We're going to be looking forward to Cincinnati more than just breaking mm-hmm. down the Chiefs-Rams and what was basically a practice squad offense for the Rams. Again, the defense was legitimate for the LA Rams. The offense was not. Mizzou won. They got to 6 wins.
Mm-hmm.
They're bowl eligible. They beat their rivals in Arkansas. That was a huge win for the Missouri Tigers. K-State, Big 12 championship game against TCU. Congratulations to Kansas State. KU won 6 games. This mm-hmm. was a year where all three, big local D1s.
Can you tell me last time they all went to a bowl game?
2009.
2009? Are you insane?
Was it 2009?
No. When's the last time Kansas went to a bowl game?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Wasn't it 2009?
They went in 2008.
Okay. That was the Ron Prince K-State era, was that?
Yeah.
Sorry for being one year off.
That's the last time KU went. When's the last time they all went? Because in 2008, K-State didn't go because Ron Prince was the coach.
Oh. Then I don't know.
I'm going to give you a hint. Are you ready? Kansas in their bowl game played against a guy in college who went on to be a first-round draft pick and played against the Chiefs many times.
Ryan Leaf.
And he only had one L.
Oh, so not Ryan
name,
Leaf.
In his first name.
Oh, Phillip.
Phillip Rivers. That's how long ago it was. It was 2003. Phillip Rivers and NC State beat Kansas in the Tangerine Bowl. K-State played in the Fiesta Bowl and lost to Ohio State. And Missouri lost to Arkansas when they weren't in the same league together. In the they were in which bowl was it? It might have been the Liberty Bowl. It was one of those bowls. So here's the bad news. They all three lost their bowl games.
I was going to say, I'll tell you this much. I don't think all three are going to be losing this time around because it feels like
they're not going to do it.
In the Liberty
Bowl.
They
need to do
Mizzou,
it.
Mizzou, Kansas.
Do you think it actually happens?
Because
no.
Why wouldn't it?
Because they won't do it.
No.
Because they're stupid.
Who wouldn't do it? The NCAA?
Yes.
Yes, I know the NCAA is stupid, but they're not that stupid because money's involved. When money gets involved, you know what the NCAA is going to say? We want some of that.
Well, they should do it because I've been on this for 20-some years doing this job, and I don't want to sound like some hoity-toity Oklahoma guy.
But
for the most
power
part,
through.
Bowl games are dumb.
Correct.
It's a chance for coaches to get incentives. It used to be a chance for players to kind of get quote unquote paid. You get a little bowl swag.
You get a lot of stuff.
It's
fun. Yes.
It's a fun thing and all that stuff. Now, they're not nearly as important as they used to be because now you just get stuff. I mean, you can just pay these guys. You know what I mean? You can do whatever you want. And you would look this up. You go look up any bowl game and the attendance and like the capacity of the stadium. People don't go to them, they don't care. Okay.
Excuse you. I went to the Mizzou, was it Oklahoma State game, Liberty Bowl, a few years ago in Memphis.
Yeah.
Had a great time.
Was it packed? Were there seats
decent
available?
I mean, Mizzou, Oklahoma State. Was
were there
decent
seats available?
Probably.
Yes, there were. I looked that number up. It wasn't great. It was okay.
It was fun.
It was a well-attended
a great
game. It was a well-attended game for what they do. But they have all these games, and you look up, they're like 60% capacity. They're made for TV events for ESPN to put things on bowl week. That's what they are, okay? I think there were 50-some thousand people in a 63,000-seat stadium for the Mizzou game.
I'm looking
Mizzou
it up right now.
Mizzou game. Like the best attended Liberty Bowl in the last 20 years or so was K-State, because they travel everywhere, against Arkansas, because that's not far. Okay? If you want people to go, the last year the Liberty Bowl had 40-some thousand people there.
52,000. That's a good crowd. 52,000 people.
It is, but that means there's 10,000 empty seats.
Sure.
I'm not saying Missouri fans aren't great, Sterling.
That's
pretty
good.
Don't get mad. I'm telling you this. If you want to see a packed-out bowl game that doesn't matter at all, you put Kansas and Missouri in it and let them play for the first time since 2010, and it'll be great.
Especially in a place close enough
where they can go
and fun to travel. Beale Street's a good time. I'm just saying, the NCAA.
I'm telling you right now, all the things I see them putting Kansas down in Fort Worth.
And you think it's going to be Mizzou,
Missouri,
Baylor
somewhere else? Yes. Blah.
The reason why, I know you're being a pessimist. I know you're trying to not get your hopes up.
I want it to be there.
No, I get it. You don't want to get your hopes up. As dumb and as much as I dislike the majority of the NCAA.
And this really isn't an NCAA.
They
this
want
is the,
money.
This is the bowls and the leagues.
They want money.
And if someone tells one of the leagues, no, we don't want to do this, tell me this. How come Missouri and Kansas never played in the Big 12 SEC Challenge in basketball?
But they're playing now.
Why didn't they ever play in the Big 12?
Because Bill Self was Bill Self.
So if someone, and I think they're over this now, because they
agreed, because they're playing.
They're playing this, and they're also have a football series coming up in a couple years. So that's back on too. So they should play this game.
And I think they will.
1,000%. There's no excuse not to. It falls in about the right place for both of these teams in the pecking order
of
the leagues.
It's legitimately perfect.
Yes.
If they don't, this is the most hyped up 2-6-6 500 teams in a bowl that would be relatively meaningless.
And before anyone sends something to the Facebook Messenger or something, I know that Missouri doesn't always qualify to be in the SEC Big 12 Challenge because the top 10 teams have to make it, and they weren't.
Yeah,
so they weren't always in the challenge.
Yeah.
But there were years they were both in it, and they never put them in. They never put them together.
Let's take a break.
I hope it happens.
And Lebo
I'm rooting for it.
I'll convince you in the break.
I'm ready.
Home stretch here, ESPN Kansas City. Welcome back to the home stretch, ESPN Kansas City. Lebo still with us. All right. Is it time to give K-State their due?
K-State's done a great job this year. Think about this. They've lost their starting quarterback, and they're in the Big 12 title game.
Yeah. Will Howard, by the way,
is better than Adrian Martinez.
I would agree.
But if you told someone at the beginning of the year, if you told a K-State fan who had seen plenty of Will Howard and didn't like what they saw.
Correct.
And I said I thought Adrian Martinez was going to be the reason they didn't have a great year.
Yeah.
And
so you'd be right.
Well, sort of. I mean, he wasn't very good against Tulane, but he was great against Oklahoma.
Against Missouri.
He played winning football against a lot of teams, and then he got hurt, and then you just said, oh, boy, this is not going to work. Will Howard's been great, and I think he's been better. I think they played the wrong guy against Texas. They might have won that game.
Sure.
Whatever. It's handled now. So now they got this guy going. They've been outstanding. They've been absolutely outstanding. And they, of course, are going to ruin the Big 12's chances to have someone in the College Football Playoff.
So you think they beat TCU then?
They could. Now, TCU continues to prove me wrong. I keep thinking they're going to lose a game or something's going to get – and, you know, Baylor had them beat, and Baylor let them off the hook.
Yeah.
And they won that game.
What a crazy game that
was,
by the way.
Wild game. Great coaching. Practice, all that stuff to be able to run the field goal team out there and get it done.
Watching it live, I'm sitting here going, what are they doing? Why do they run the ball for 2 yards? That's not going to affect the kicker. You might not get the kickoff, and the next thing you know, the coach after the game goes, it might look hectic,
but we practice this.
This is what we – and you're like, all right.
Hey, they're great there. They were in a dogfight at West Virginia, and they won that game. They were in a fight against Tech, and they won that game. It was just a slobber knocker against Texas on the road, and they won that one. The K-State
close
game was
against
wild.
KU
they were down
too.
Against K-State and up against K-State. And the KU game came down to the last play of the game.
Yeah.
I will say this again. KU game, they knocked Jalen Daniels out of the game. Oklahoma game, they knocked Dylan Gabriel out of the game.
Yeah.
K-State game, they knocked Adrian Martinez and Will Howard out of the game. You remember Jake Rubley came in and threw a pick. He looked as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room of rocking chairs, and he threw a pick, costly for them. Then against Texas Tech, they knocked Slough, however you say this,
shot. So what are you saying
out
here?
Of the game? And they knocked Iowa State's quarterback out of the game. Now, the game was well out of hand. I'm saying I saw the stat during the game on Saturday. I watched a little bit. I couldn't watch much of it. They are tied for the fourth fewest starters who have started a game this year on their 22, you know, offensive.
You're not
defense.
Calling them dirty, are you?
No, I'm not calling them dirty. I'm calling them physical.
Sure.
The play against Oklahoma was dirty as can be. The kid was kicked out of the game. It was awful. Yeah. If he was in the NFL, he'd have been fined.
Yeah.
It was atrociously dirty.
Yeah.
But it was not dirty the other plays.
Okay.
But they're physical and they're tough, and they haven't been hurt. Mm. You know, they've withstood it quite a bit. So that's helped them. They have been very healthy. You look around, you know, Rams yesterday, 11th starting lineup on the offensive line alone in 11 games. So this football injuries are tough, and they haven't had many of them. K-State's had plenty, and K-State's had one at the big position at quarterback. And I think this will be as entertaining looking a crowd as you've seen at this Big 12 title game since OU and Texas played in 18.
I feel bad for K-State, too, that the additional teams aren't happening this year because they could potentially have an outside shot if they beat TCU. I mean, you're seeing Oregon ninth fall. You saw South Carolina, who, by the way, Spencer Rattle looking good, beat Clemson.
Hey, how many times is too many times to go 0 for on fourth downs? Because Dan Lanning, 0 for 5 for Oregon against Oregon State. They had that game won, and they blew it.
Well, here's my...
Not saying that hurt my parlay.
Here's my congratulations to K-State. Here's my congratulations to KU. Congratulations
to Mizzou.
You got the half. Lebo, this was fun. We'll be back live in studio tomorrow at 3 to 4 p.m. Until then, we are out.